Sumo, and this is Tiny Sumo Talk Time. And I didn't stuff up the intro that time because in previous recordings I did, but this time we're good to go. I'm here on the first episode, numero uno. It's the first chat that we've got going. The basic premise of the show is going to be me talking to people about fight stuff because I don't have any other hobbies and I don't really want to talk to anyone about anything else. So for the first episode, I'm going to let my guests introduce themselves. Matt, a little bit about yourself, why you're here, what we're talking about, why are you talking to me?
Hey, Matt Fev Estevez is my pseudonym on social media. I am one of the founders, owners, I need a third one. Founder and owner of Dirty Clean Eats, which is a safe space to do fitness, fun, nonsense. Recipes, advice, nonsense is our motto. Also, in my other non-day job, I run Element Jiu-Jitsu North. That's a new gym. I've been coaching for probably 4 or 5 years in a less formal sense, but for the last 6 months, I've kicked it up a gear and running a jiu-jitsu-focused MMA gym. And I love Dylan, so I'd like to talk to him about his things. He's a mastermind with these things. I love picking your brain. I love hearing what you have to say.
We love each other. Oh. I love talking about the same stuff, so it was a perfect fit. And so backstory, for anyone who hasn't listened to our previous podcast, which I did with Dirty Clean Eats, the DCE Pirate Radio podcast, check it out. It's on all major providers. Go to the website, dirtycleaneats.com.
Hey, check that out. Click the link. You don't have to take care of a guest.
That's it. I mean, I'm going to remain the favorite guest. I'm gonna make sure that, like, if there is a better podcast, I have to come back and we have to re-record because I can't have that. But I met Fev originally through training, so that is why we like to pick each other's brains about training and fighting and everything like that. This podcast itself has been a little while coming now, and it was spurred on today. There was some MMA news. Yoel Romero missed weight for his middleweight title fight with Robert Whittaker. It's the second time he's missed weight for a title fight in a row.
By just a smidge.
Just a smidge. But this is why, so straight away, the second I saw the news, message Matt said, we've got to get it going. Got to get it off the ground. We've got to talk about Yoel and weight cutting in general. So I was going to say, we'll start off. One of the things I've been talking to people about recently, especially in light of more people I find missing weight. I want to get someone else's opinions. And what's your opinion from someone with fight experience and also as a coach? What's your opinion on cutting weight?
In general?
In general.
Yeah. I think it's a necessary evil.
Yep.
It would be my 2 second answer.
Yep.
It's something that you have to do, but there's certainly a point of diminishing returns, like many things in the fight game. There's certainly a point of diminishing returns, and that point of diminishing returns might be different for different people depending on experience, age, body fat percentage, like a whole number of factors. How much weight you cut can make a big difference. And especially for amateurs, I think a big thing is you hear – X. I'll pick Chael Sonnen. Not that he's a necessary person that cuts a lot of weight, but he's the one that I remember talking about cutting weight when I was more of an amateur than I still an amateur, more of an amateur than I am right now. And I remember hearing, you know, he cut 20 pounds. And after I got my calculator out and Google and figured out what that meant in kilos, when you're talking that way, people exaggerate their weight cut, like everything. Like if someone asks me how much I weigh, if I'm trying to be light, I'm 85. If I'm trying to be
heavy, lighter than you are,
it's always a little bit of a scale. So especially fighters and professional fighters, when they're talking about cutting weight, it's always the maximum weight they cut. And sometimes it's, and a lot of the time, it's how much weight they cut 8 weeks ago. Like it's including the body fat that they've lost over
from the start of training camp, as opposed to that final push to get to the scale. Yeah.
So you've got to break it up as well. So I suppose if you lost 8 kilos of body fat and didn't lose any muscle mass, if you're including that in your weight cut, which I don't, that's a whole different story. I consider the weight cut as kind of that last week, and certainly that pushing it into the last day. And really for me, the weight cut is how much water weight did you lose? Because that's what we're really talking about that has that diminishing return. If you can go and cut 5 kilos of body fat off yourself, there's very little negative impacts that's going to have on you. And I would certainly recommend that maintain as low a body fat as you possibly can. There certainly are advantages in a grappling sense to being fat or fatter or heavier. But the other person's not going to have those advantages either because they're weight categories. So body fat, get rid of that as much as possible. But in terms of cutting weight itself, I think we're going to see a lot more people cutting less and less weight. Certainly for amateurs, it's one of those things. If you have aspirations of being the best in the world, now's not really the time to be cutting 8-10 kilos of water weight before you fight. Certainly cut a little bit because I think it has a mental advantage of you preparing as much as you can. It's something about that, I did this, I went through the fire.
The struggle of that, yeah. That last struggle to get to the scale.
But yeah, I think it's something we're going to see go away more and more as we go forward. That was a very long-winded answer.
No, but it's a long answer, but that's because it's a complicated issue, and too often people are giving these snippet, like hot soundbite answers to it.
Yeah.
And there's probably more to it. I mean, there's arguments to be made. So I'm one of those people too, from a weight cut perspective, I believe that you should probably only cut as much weight as you can put back on. So in terms of your ideal training weight, whatever weight you're spending the majority of your training time at for that fight camp is the weight that you want to then compete at, fight at, as close to that as possible. You know, that's where your body's become acclimated to the work. That's where, you know, you're used to doing certain techniques and it's at a certain weight. It's with a certain amount of water retention and all that sort of stuff. So I think that if you're cutting, you know, you see guys cutting crazy, crazy weight, obviously more at the professional level. At the amateur level, though, I think it creeps in.
Yes.
And I think that then becomes the issue because you've got guys starting their competitive journey, and rather than the focus be on the growing as an athlete and bettering themselves from a skill set perspective and gaining experience, they're focusing on the cutting the weight aspect and missing out on the other portion of it. You know, I think I understand the idea of, you know, having that weight advantage, but I think if it's detrimental to the process, then it's null and void. You lose out on it. From a professional standpoint, if you are contracted to fight a certain weight, if you say, I'm going to make 155, make 155. But if you're not going to make 155, if you're starting your camp at 200, there's a fair chance you're not making 155.
Yeah.
And that sort of comes down to as well the idea that there should be more weight divisions in MMA. Because in other combat sports, there's a lot more weight divisions. I understand that in some grappling sports, there's less. But in anything where punchy kicky is involved, there tends to be more weight divisions. I know personally, I find myself wanting somewhere between what, say, boxing currently offers in terms of weight division structure and what MMA currently offers from a major promotion perspective. What are your thoughts on that? Do you like the idea of, I mean, you know, we've currently got, what, if you use the UFC as the benchmark, 125, 35, 45, 55, 70, 85, 205, 265. I mean, that in itself, that last jump's ridiculous. But I think, too, if you have a look at some of the guys, I think Kevin Lee is a really good example currently from a lightweight perspective. And if you're looking at guys like talking about Yoel today, he's a good example as well.
Or even Whitaker.
There's that happy medium. There has to be a happy medium between the divisions, I think. And 170 to 185 is a massive jump. You know, seven odd kilos, 15 odd pounds, that's a big difference. You know that you can feel the difference if you've got a good competitor, if you're training or fighting against a good guy. Skill set for skill set, if there's 7 kilos difference,
makes it hard.
That's murder. That's terrible. It's a horrible feeling. So what's your thoughts on that in terms of that sort of more of an incremental breakdown, 55, 65, 75, 85, 95? What do you think?
I'm a big fan of more weight divisions because it's an arbitrary thing.
Yeah.
They've already changed. At the end of the day, I want to see two relatively even matched men or women fight. I don't want to see someone have a huge advantage one way or another. What weight that is, I don't really care. On the flip side, I hate catch weights for some reason. That's just a personal thing. But apart from that, I'm hugely in favor of more weight divisions. And obviously, I think the smaller you get, the more weight divisions you need. Because obviously, you know, the difference between 60 to 63 or 65 as a percentage of your overall weight is significantly more than 100 kilos to 103 or 105 kilos. So I'm happy as a first cut. I like that weight division every 10 pounds approach, and potentially even add some more weight divisions. If you've got enough quality fighters to put on, as long as you're not having a shit division, for the sake of, you know, if you don't want to get ridiculous with these things, but certainly up to a point, I think I like the 10 pounds. I like the 10 pounds everyone up until 205. And then after 205, I like 205 to 220.
Yep.
And then, because that seems to be where all the heavyweight champions are, like Miocic. There seems to be almost a point of diminishing returns for weight. Past.
It's like you've got your Cain Velasquez, your even Stipe and stuff like that are around that 230 mark.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and they're probably, if you looked at them, if you told them there was a 220 division, if you went light heavy at 205, cruiserweight 225, heavyweight 265, you'd find that those sort of guys would probably go, I'll cut 10 pounds.
Over 265, I'm happy with, like, just a let's see what fucking happens.
Let's just have a bot. I'm happy. Look, I'm a Pride fanboy anyway, so I like the open weight freak show stuff. As its own thing.
Yeah.
And I then don't want that to affect. Look, I mean, belts in themselves and champions in themselves, for the most part, it's a selling point anyway. It's a point that fans can gravitate towards. You go, that's the guy or girl.
Yeah.
But in saying that as well, as a fan, it's nice knowing who or thereabouts are the best person. Obviously, it's harder now with MMA, with UFC being such a big thing unto itself anyway. But the belt itself, I think the more divisions you have, when you open up those other divisions, I think especially with the divisions that they could possibly open, you're not going to have, if you look at something like the UFC, which has 800 rostered fighters or something, there's a lot of those guys that would slot perfectly into 165, 175, 195. Right? They're too small. Like 185 to 205 is massive. 10 kilos or thereabouts is such a big jump.
At that weight division as well, size, like it's just huge. Because it's different people. They're different
human beings. I think that if you were to add more divisions, you've currently got a business model that seemed to be pushing the idea that you need to have belts on every card anyway.
Yeah.
Rather than have interim titles when you don't necessarily need them. They've got an interim title fight tomorrow when the champion hasn't been sat out that long, in my opinion, with Tyron Woodley.
Yeah. Is that interim title fight?
Colby Covington versus RDA is a welterweight interim title fight.
Shit.
So,
I thought it was a number one contender fight.
No, that's the thing. But it is essentially because the interim title is just that.
But I reckon that's why Devil's Advocate for a positive thing of the interim title is how many number one contender fights was there back in the day where that person didn't get the title fight next?
Yeah, of course. That's the
only thing I like about the interim title fight is that just when you've got that belt around your waist, it's like for some reason they've decided that. We'll keep our word on that one.
Yeah.
But I agree.
In saying that, you've got Tony Ferguson just stripped of an interim title after injuring himself when they crowned an undisputed champion with two guys that didn't hold a strap. So yeah. The UFC as a business model doesn't necessarily care about its own straps enough to not just put them on people.
Yeah. So I think money first.
Yeah. If you're having guys miss weight regularly, and especially for title fights, that's garbage. Yeah. If you're missing weight for a title fight, you shouldn't be in that division. That's a, you know how far out what weight you need to be. If you can't make it, that's fine. Rather than have a bunch of guys missing weight or a bunch of guys going up a weight, you know, that big weight division and not being able to hit upper echelon, why not have an extra weight division in there? I like the idea of like cruiserweight. I think cruiserweight would be a really good division because you're going to get some of the guys that could probably drop from heavyweight, so you're still going to have bangers. And I like the idea of like 165, 175, and you just get guys shift either way. I think the way that you could work it is similar to what 1FC have done it recently, where they're instituting a different weight, I guess, like monitoring system. Yeah. And so they've just had their guy, all their champions basically move up a weight division.
There sounds, I haven't had it completely explained to me, but it sounds like a lot of dicking around.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
But it doesn't so that seem kind of comes in as well.
For everyone.
Yeah. So it's there's more work involved.
Yeah.
They're also not having people miss weight. Right. I can only think of one, off the top of my head, I don't watch a heap of 1FC, but I can only think of one fight where I remember that the person missed weight. Ben Askren fought some guy.
Yeah.
And he missed weight, but that was before they changed the weight division. So yep. I think when Ben Askren was talking about it, he basically went from like the 170-pound, like he's the welterweight champ, he's still the welterweight champ, but welterweight is now 185. And like you said before, weight divisions are arbitrary. They are what you call them, because up until however many years ago, you know, like your light heavyweight division, your middleweight division was 200 pounds and stuff like that. So I think you can make of it what you want. If you want straps on more people, you're doing cards so regularly that you could add another three or four champions. That's every other pay-per-view now you can put an extra belt on.
Oh, from a UFC perspective, I have no idea why they don't. It makes sense from a money perspective. Like, if you were just a heartless bastard that wanted to make money, it makes sense to have more weight divisions.
Yes.
And it also makes sense from a fighter's perspective. So I don't understand why it hasn't been done. And the only reason I can think is because it's kind of one of those things. It just takes time. I would be very shocked within the next 2 years we don't see some more weight divisions in the UFC. Because the only one that it screws over is welterweight.
The thing is, it
confuses welterweight a little bit. And then if you look at the welterweight UFC division at the moment, they don't really love Tyron Woodley for some reason. He's a beast, but for some reason they don't love him. And he's a big boy for 170. So
I think he comfortably, that's the thing. I mean, obviously I'm speaking for someone else, but I would think that someone like him would be comfortable not cutting an extra 5 pound.
Yeah.
Fight at 175. You've got someone like, I think Kevin Lee in terms of like slotting in at 165. Perfect. Yeah. Even guys like Khabib. You know, if you say that he struggles to make 155, he's talked about going to 170
like
in the past.
He's like 185. He's
massive. So if you said he was at 165, okay, cool. You have the idea, you know, they've obviously pushed on us the double division champions, the champs. We have which guys is, all of a sudden have that option, three or four divisions now.
Yeah.
You know, throughout the course of their career. So I think from that perspective, more weight divisions, it can't hurt at all. But yeah. I don't know what's holding them. I don't know.
And you look at that weight as well. Like I get why you wouldn't want to change things past 205. There's not that many human beings that are that big. Your percentage of human beings that size is much smaller. Whereas welterweight is like the average size person.
Average size dude.
Yeah. So you got like lightweight to middleweight is the range of average size person. And that's the range we're talking about making some more weight divisions. Like,
put another two divs in there.
Why wouldn't you?
I think it makes sense. But I mean, obviously I don't know how the UFC run their business. I know that Dana White has come out since Romero missed weight and he's basically said, oh, we're going to go back to the afternoon weigh-in. So that show weigh-in now, the ceremonial weigh-in will be the actual weigh-in. which doesn't fix the issue. He said, oh, it'll stop people from missing weight. It'll give them extra time. Well, you should be making the weight regardless. You just dial back your weigh-in clock. If you say you're weighing in at 9 o'clock as opposed to 5 o'clock, make weight at 9 o'clock.
The morning weigh-in thing. I think the only disadvantage in terms of people missing weight in the morning weigh-in is because they've changed something, so you've got to learn a new routine. I don't think it's any easier or harder to weigh in the morning with that longer term. The only difference is that your entire career, you've woken up at 10 o'clock in the morning and you started your weight cut at 10:30 and you made your 4 o'clock weigh-in. Now you've got to do something different to make your 10 a.m. weigh-in.
Yeah.
So you might have to do something the night before. You might have to get earlier, get up earlier. Like, it changes things. I don't think it's harder or easier. It's just you've changed something to people with less experience.
I think it's a band-aid solution to a bigger problem within the sport itself, and that is people fighting a division that doesn't suit their body.
Yeah.
You know, saying, oh, we just need to change the weigh-in time back to what it was. That'll give people more of an opportunity. I mean, these guys get an opportunity when they miss weight on the scale. Yeah. To drop some more weight, you've got 2 hours or whatever. If you said, okay, you missed weight on the initial weigh-in, we're still going to fine you 10%, but you have until this time, you have until ceremonial weigh-in now to make weight. You got an extra 5 hours, but you've lost 10%, or whatever it is. This is all hypothetical business stuff, which is stuff that I'm less interested in.
Yeah.
I just want to see people fight, but I want to see people fighting at the best possible version of themselves. And that, I think, too, is where weight cuts come in. So I know that for myself, one of the things that I've done for most of my fighting is I've done same-day weigh-ins.
Yeah.
So I know that talking to some people, they're really not a fan of same-day weigh-ins, but those are the same people that cut a lot of weight. If I'm fighting at what my natural weight is, because really weight divisions are just there to stop me from fighting a heavyweight. That's... that's how weight divisions break down. It just says, well, skill set for skill set, I'm not going to beat a guy that's 50 pounds heavier if we have the same level of skill. So have me fight someone around the same size and we'll get a better fight. I think for the most part, day before weigh-ins, and it's obviously a bit of a controversial thing to say, but I think day before weigh-ins just give people the opportunity to take dangerous weight cuts and run them further, as opposed to just losing weight over the course of your training camp and fighting on like a... Fighting. If you said same day, if you said morning of, I understand that from a business perspective it's hard. I can see why from a professional standpoint you would have 24 hours.
Yeah.
But I don't think that amateur fighting should be based off professional guidelines for that sort of stuff.
I'm in two minds because overall, day before or day of, I'm a little bit indifferent. I think my only comment on that is that the difference between day of is the people that are going to do the wrong thing for themselves are going to take the consequences of them doing the wrong thing more extreme with the same day. But ultimately, that ties into my real way of thinking that we get over this is I think it comes down to the more weight divisions give you more opportunity to not – so there's those tweeners. If you're a tweener, you kind of have to fight at a disadvantage against someone that's too big or cut too much weight. They're your only two options. So weight divisions helps that. And the other thing is education. Like, I'm not a big fan of ineffective strategies, whether you want to call it the war on drugs, you want to call it this, you want to call it that. Like, that's the first example that comes to my mind. But it's like – You can say, I don't want people to cut too much weight until you're blue in the face. But if you can't implement a strategy to fix that, it doesn't really matter what you say.
People are still going to try and take any advantage that they can.
Yeah. And the way to fix that, in my mind, is education. Because cutting too much weight is a disadvantage. Being significantly smaller than your opponent is a disadvantage. So it comes down to quality coaching and smart fighters. To manage that better. And then being given the opportunity to compete in a level playing field as well.
So as a coach, so how much input do you have with your guys in terms of determining what division they should be at. Is that something that you go to the guys with, or is that something that they come to you with and say, hey, I think I can fight at this division? Or is it just based off a promoter coming to you and saying, hey, have you got a guy at 67 kilos?
I'm a relatively young coach, and when I say that, is that there's literally two or three people that I've had this conversation with, and the two people, as you know, not to go into detail, but they both have very different levels of experience and background in terms of that stuff. So it depends is my first answer. But say I've got a new person that wants to fight, and they're the first thing I say is, because generally the person that says I want to fight is the brand new white belt. So the first thing I say is, train for 2 years and come back to me. Let's see if you like getting punched in the face and you like training before we worry about any of that nonsense. Yeah. But anyway, say someone who's been training for a period of time and, you know, they're ready to jump it up. Figure out what their weight is and go, what weight do you want to compete at? What do you feel comfortable at? And then depending on what they say, it's like bang on, or, you know, I think you could, to be honest, I think you could be a bit better on your diet and go a weight division lower.
Yeah.
Or I'm like, you should maybe be go up a weight division.
Yeah.
But you don't find, I don't know, I'm not expecting to have too many conversations where I have to tell someone to go up a weight division.
No.
Because as an amateur, you know, you don't know how to cut, you don't know how to do all those things. So there's a big difference between an amateur losing 3 kilos of on the day before and a professional losing 3 kilos the day before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it really comes down to the person. But generally, I like to give them the opportunity to go what they want to do and then just give them advice. I'm big on this is what I think. It's a very personal thing fighting in a cage. So I think you have to have a lot of autonomy about your decision-making and what you want to do. And I'm certainly going to give you advice. And if you go into that, if you go into one of the extremes one way or the other, I'm going to tell you what you need to fucking hear. But if you're in that, in my green zone, I like to let you.
Then it's good for you to work it out anyway.
Yeah. I want you to feel comfortable with what you want to do. And as long as you're not doing something completely stupid, I'll persuade you to do something different opposed to that's ridiculous, mate. If you want me to corner you, you've got to do something different.
Yep. No, that it makes sense. I can understand why there's going to be a difference from professional level to amateur and back and forth. And like you said, it's going to be based off experience and based off knowledge and knowing your own body and knowing how much weight you can cut. And I know how much weight I can cut. I know how much weight I can cut in a week. I know how much weight I can cut if I've got a 24-hour weigh-in. And I know how much weight I can cut if I've got a 2-hour weigh-in. But that's from experience. That's from me.
How many mistakes did you make to learn that?
Loads.
It's like you know how to navigate those 3, 4, 5 different situations, but did you know how to navigate the situation?
It took me being really hungry and being really thirsty and not, you know, like it took me those things to go, oh.
Getting worse than you could have, but like, optimization is the key.
Yeah.
So you weren't at your optimum in some of those times.
Of course, yeah. So looking back, and obviously hindsight's really cool in that I can look back and go, oh, I should have done that for my cut and I should have done that for my prep. But it is what it is. I can't obviously change that. But passing that knowledge on or remembering that for next time, those things make a difference. Going, oh, yeah, no, that I was really hungry that week or I was really thirsty and it didn't help me. Maybe I should look at the next division. Was it beneficial for me to cut? Was it beneficial for me to, you know, those sort of things? And I've never been a big proponent of cutting. I've only ever cut, and when I say cut, I mean actually cut, as opposed to, like we were saying before, losing weight versus cutting.
Losing body fat isn't a cut.
Yeah, you lose weight over the course of a training camp. You cut weight at the end. That's the base breakdown. I've only ever cut weight, like a big portion of weight, a couple of times. And I've had 24-hour weigh-ins. Can't do it for a same-day weigh-in. Can't do it. I know I've got X amount of time and I can only rehydrate so much and all that sort of thing. So we're in unison there. We're in unison in terms of, you know, a couple of points covered. I mean, we both want more divisions. I think most people want more divisions. The fighters want more divisions. The fans would be fine with more divisions. You get better fights when people are fighting closer to their natural training weight and they're cutting less weight and they're they're better hydrated, better fed, and they can focus on training as opposed to cutting weight for the course of a camp.
The negative from a UFC perspective is their overheads.
Yeah.
So they've got 500 fighters approximately on their roster, and if they make more weight divisions, they potentially, if they want to continue to have the same amount of fighters per weight division, that's going to significantly increase the amount of fighters they have to have, and that's going to increase their overheads.
Yeah.
And they are, you know, they need to cut costs at the moment. You know, I mean, like they were bought for a lot of money. I can get from that business perspective. That's the only negative I can see with the weight division. Yeah. But as a fan, like, just make the other weight divisions and have a top fight. Like, you know, just make the other weight divisions and just have title fights for it for a while.
You can do the first card post weight divisions. It would be the biggest card of all time, and you have all title fights. You could just go, we've got to fill someone for 65, 75, 95, 225. Yeah. You could have four out of the top six, well, four out of the eight fights on a pay-per-view portion or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Title fight.
And do it off your current roster. Don't even add any new people if you don't want to.
You don't need to.
Worry about it. After you make the money off those big pay-per-views, then start building the divisions back up.
I think there's enough guys either side, and girls, either side of the weight divisions that you can quite comfortably fill those divisions. One thing I want to touch on before we call it a night, wanted to talk about the Yoel Romero is still going to fight Robert Whittaker, non-title fight, still main event. You've got an interim title fight as the co-main. You've got the girls fighting number one contender.
I reckon we differ on this point, so I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Hypothetically, I'm Bobby Whittaker. Now, I understand that in order to compete at that level, you need a completely different mindset to 99.whatever% of the population in terms of competitively. Yeah. But I don't see anything in that. There's not a lot of upside other than the casual fan saying, hey, Bobby took the fight and the UFC gun. Thanks, bud. Kept the pay-per-view afloat, and you get paid. My argument would be, if you're looking at cementing the legacy of the belt and of the champion, if he fights Yoel Romero, who's a scary motherfucker, who's just such a far-out percentile of the human race in terms of genetics and skill, you fight that guy and you lose, they have to fight a third time anyway. They have to fight a fourth. Like, at what point then do I stop their fights? Because they'd be 1-1. Yoel Romero is the uncrowned champion, but hasn't made weight in his past two title fight appearances. Which for me, I go, you can't be champion. I'm not going to give you a third title fight now because I don't believe you can make the weight.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to have you rematch Robert Whittaker for a third fight, even though you just beat him, but you have to go up a division. You've missed weight two fights in a row. But the UFC aren't going to do it. So if Robert Whittaker loses, he's a champion on a loss in terms of market value for him. That's a fair bit of a dive, I would think.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at it from a coach's perspective and a trainer's perspective or a manager's perspective, that's what I'm looking at. Longevity of the career, career trajectory. If you lose, it's struggle coming back from that from a selling point.
Yeah.
And also just damage anyway. Yoel Romero is such an explosive guy that he can sleep you pretty quickly. Or you might have a five-round burner like they did last time. I don't see a heap of positives other than that sort of pat on the back from the general fan and from the promoter. I don't see a lot of upside for it.
So my thoughts differ a little bit. First thing I'll say is what I would be, as a coach or a manager, what I would be saying, which would be, I want a bonus.
Yep.
I'm saving your card. I want more money.
Yep.
First of all. and I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Second of all, I would want a stipulation on that as well, whether it's a promise that means nothing or not, is that if I lose, Yorimeo needs to make weight in a number one contender fight against someone else and win, and then we get a guaranteed title fight again. So that means Yorimeo goes and fights someone else, has to make weight.
Yep.
I get to fight someone else and win, hopefully, so that I can get to back on a winning record. And then when we meet again, he has to make weight. And if he doesn't make weight that time, I wouldn't take the second fight.
Yeah.
From a why I would take the fight perspective, it would be, A, there's been a bit of a layoff. So you've trained hard. It's purely from a fighter's perspective. I did all the work. I did everything I have to do. I want to fight.
Yep.
Secondary, this is the worst Yorimeo you're going to fight. It's not like a Mackenzie Dern where she kind of walked off and had a power raid and missed weight by 7 pounds.
Yep.
He missed weight by 0.2 pounds
and or couldn't cut anymore.
And apparently was being carried to and fro. So he's got a not much size advantage because he was so close to making the weight.
Yep.
And he had a massive disadvantage because he got on death's door to still not make weight. So in that situation, it's like, it's not, I don't consider that a positive for Yorimeo to be 0.2 pounds heavier and almost himself. He's going to be a worse Yorimeo than if he was a couple kilos weight lighter before he started his cut and made weight. So from a Bobby Knuckles, I like Jackson.
I like Bobby Knuckles. Yeah, Bobby Knuckles is a good name.
From a Bobby Knuckles perspective, you've already beaten him. He's a worse version of himself than he would have been if he'd made weight comfortably.
Yep.
Assuming I've got my bonus and my guarantees in place as well, I am getting the positives of I'm being a company man, I'm doing the right thing. I might get my boost because I'm the Australian champion. Yeah. And that's a huge demographic. Why don't we get them on board? It seems like not necessarily a win-win, but he should be a worse fighter. I already think I can beat him as well. I have beat him in the past. Why wouldn't I go out there, beat him, get my championship, build up my name, and then take my bonus as well?
So, my two...
Rebuttals,
right?
Yeah.
First one, Yoel Romero had a horrible weight cut out against Luke Rockhold.
Yep.
Slept him. And then kissed him.
He can always... That's the danger.
That's the issue. So, I understand that he's had a massive weight cut, but he's done that before. Yep. You know, he's probably been on the brink of death a heap of times because he competed at the highest level of wrestling and they cut weight every week. And, you know, he's probably fought at that level his last bunch of fights. And I get that Bobby's already beaten him, but my second point would be he has had a really long layoff.
Yeah.
He's had a really long layoff. We've seen longer layoffs, but we've seen longer layoffs and guys come back against less explosive opponents.
Yeah.
So my concern would be I fight him, I'm rusty, timing's off. I've been sparring lots, but how often are you going to find someone who's as explosive?
Yeah. But these are all problems you had whether he made weight or not.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So I'm looking at it from the perspective of you're going to fight him and you've got things to consider.
Yep.
Though in my mind, that weight cut and him not making weight in that fashion, plus the you get to keep the title regardless, plus the concessions, it's a better situation than you would have been if he made weight. So you might as well fight him.
I would rather lose a title fight.
Yeah.
Than lose a non-title fight and therefore tarnish credibility of me as a champion, because if he loses and still has the strap...
Mm. That's weird. I agree with you. That's weird.
Selling point strongly diminishes. I do like the idea of what you said about, hey, if I lose, I've got to fight someone else. You've got to fight someone else. I like the idea of almost like a four-man middleweight tournament.
I'd definitely be using my leverage. I did everything right. This person did something wrong. If you want me to be the savior of this card, I need to be compensated. Because in my opinion, fighters in general don't compensate.
They're not compensated enough anyway. Fight. Yeah,
you know, there'd be a lot of fighters out there that would do it if you didn't earn any money.
Yes,
they need a good coach and a good manager to get them paid for the damage that happens to their body.
I think we've come full circle.
Yeah,
we've come full circle, and what I would say is Yoel Romero needs to be at 195. Bobby Whittaker could probably be 175.
Yeah, well, he used to fight at welter.
You know, he could stay at 185. He's a champ. He can do what he wants. But I'm saying, you know, like you open up those possibilities, Yoel Romero slots straight into a title fight at 195.
Yeah.
Fights, you could have him rematch Rockhold because Rockhold cuts a bit of weight, hypothetically or whatever. You just say that's a built-in fight. There's history already. He missed weight the first time. It's a selling point the second time.
Who the hell fights at 185, though? That's the problem. Because I could see it. Like, I could see a 165 division, or at least I can see a top five for 165.
Yeah.
I can see a top five for 175. I can see a couple 195ers, and I can see a couple 185ers. Like, that's the hard part.
The argument then is, as a fan now, do you see much outside of that top five anyway, or what the UFC is selling you as a top five?
I'm with 165 and 175 all day.
Hot divisions, though. Hot divisions.
I would see them first, and I would see how I would let those divisions build up, and then I would consider a 195. Because whilst 185 to 205 is a big jump, they're already big boys. Like, you know, people that are fighting at 185, they're already over 100 kilos. And there's not that many human beings that are naturally over 100 kilos. So it really comes down to a case of your muscle where you fit best. And there's certainly going to be some tweeners in that space. But there's – like once you're over 100 kilos, you're over 100 kilos. Like there's just a smaller pool of people to deal with. So I would bring in that 165 and that 175 division first. I would cement it. I would get them established. And then I would look at bringing the one – always planning to bring the 195 in, but I would do that next because that middleweight and that light heavyweight division you'll see at the moment are pretty they're not as good as they once were.
Even if you said light heavyweight, you've got Cormier probably having his last fight against Stipe.
At heavyweight.
At heavy. You've got Gustafsson, who's been on the shelf for a while.
Got Voldemort.
Yeah. And then you've got – you've got guys like, I mean, who? Jimmy Manoa. I mean, is Glover Teixeira still fighting? Because you've got a couple of the light heavies outside of the UFC. If you said Bellator was light heavyweight division.
They've got a good division.
It's good. I mean, you've got Ryan Bader. You've got Phil Davis. You've got Linton Vassell.
Yeah.
I mean, even guys like Liam McGeary and you know, those sort of caliber fighters, they're not winning a UFC title, but you could easily see them on a UFC card compared to some of the scrubs. So I think I like the idea of a gradual, even if you had two divisions debut.
Khabib versus Conor, 165-pound championship.
There you go. Get Conor his third belt. Fuck. Get Conor his third belt and Khabib won't struggle to make weight.
I'm a Conor fanboy, so I can't really talk.
But no, I think... yeah, look, we'll make some calls. We'll ring the UFC, and we'll.
Okay, I am friends with Robert Whittaker on Facebook, so
that's a good start.
That's a good, very good start. That's a
very good start. So, just put in the words. Send him a message now. I'm sure he's waiting out.
He's like, I hope Matt gets involved.
Hey, I need that text. I need that rev up before a fight. Before a fight,
I need a bloody idiot to tell me something.
Cool. I'm happy with that. As a chat about weight divisions,
we could
go on, but you've got places to be.
I've got to go to the movies.
You got to go to the movies.
Happy wife, happy life.
Smart man. I have to go parent so I can keep my happy wife, happy life.
Happy wife, happy life.
And we will have to do this again shortly. So if you're listening on any other platform, if you're listening on YouTube, iTunes, whatever, DirtyCleanEats.com, check out at DirtyCleanEats Instagram, DirtyCleanEats on Facebook, at Tiny_Sumo on Instagram, Tiny Sumo on Facebook, Tiny Sumo YouTube. That's about it for now.
Yeah. And, Tiny Sumo Talk Time.
And Tiny Sumo Talk Time. Drink Jamu.
Ah, oh, fuck yeah, Jamu.
Jamu. DirtyCleanEats.com. Peace. Bye.